Lord be in your heart, in your mind, and on your lips, and every pain is holy gospel, both worthy and well, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Alleluia, 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 alleluia. Alleluia, 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 alleluia.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, O Lord.
When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up the mountain, and after he had sat down, his disciples came to him. He began to teach them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the land. Blessed are they who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the clean of heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are they who are persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they insult you and persecute you, and utter every kind of evil against you falsely. Because of me, rejoice and be glad, for your reward will be great in heaven." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. When Antonín Dvořák finished his New World Symphony up in Spillville, he had no idea how it would be received. He'd composed this new kind of symphony, drawing on musical traditions that had never been brought into the classical world before. If you listen closely to the flute solo, there are strains from "Swing Low, Sweet Chariot." When the oboe comes in, it's redolent of Native American dance. He tried to draw deliberately on all the peoples that made up this new world. We heard those strains last night, the wake. They were dear to Jane, I think because she intuited deeply something new. Something new. So the Lord lists off the sort of job description of the saints and the Beatitudes, there's a piece that maybe isn't missing, but isn't quite explicit. It's an unenumerated quality of the blessed, but one which the tradition finds rather significant and which I think Jane would have landed on hard. Spontaneity. It wasn't that she didn't have her patterns, her set rules and ways of doing things. Father Nick noted last night she would get grumpy if the priest showed up early and set things up instead of her. The reason there's a chart in the sacristy noting the color of the day and the number of candles is because she got tired of fighting with me over what should be on the altar. One day I came in and it was a martyr's day, so it was supposed to be red. She had green out, so I came out wearing red and the altar was green, and she called me Father Christmas. So then the next time we had a green day, I deliberately wore red and started Mass with Merry Christmas. She didn't appreciate it. But this quality of spontaneity, I think, really did mark her life. The description of the heavenly banquet foreseen by the prophet Isaiah, I see in my mind's eye at La Cabana, where she's wearing a sombrero and dancing with a child. And I suspect the family would have their own versions of the same. There was something about Jane that was simply deeply alive, and alive in a way that most of us endeavor toward or envy, but very often fall short of. It's trite, but, right, dance like no one's looking. Well, she wanted people to look. But she could dance all on her own, whether anyone was looking or not. And she delighted in the movement of her body, in the thrill that the music would pulse through. She liked it when I came and started singing more, because she said, I don't like your kind of music, but I like that you like it. I think what someone like Jane can teach us is that life, all by itself, whether it's a troubling time or a joyful time, whether things are going well or things are going poorly, even in the midst sometimes of great struggle, is worth living. Every day of it is worth living. Every moment of it is worth living. And though she had experienced real hardship and struggle, especially earlier on in her life, she found deep meaning, deep significance, not only in what had happened to her or with her or amongst her friends and family, but she found deep meaning in his life, in his death, and in his resurrection. Jane was sick more and longer than I think any of us realized, at least to start, and she was taking communion to the sick until the week that she moved in with Kelly. She was visiting the sick and bringing treats and gifts right up until she needed them brought to her herself. She was, in the best and truest sense, a woman who lived for others. And in that mysterious way that I haven't yet worked out, made other people want to do the same. To be the same. Caught up, as we are now, in the solemn dance that is the church's funeral rites, drawing on signs and symbols, images that go back for ages, Jane now is brought near as she can be to the altar from which she received communion so often, illuminated by the candle which was first given to her owner, brought her for baptism. In just a few moments, the gifts will be incensed, and then later, Jane's remains will be incensed, because now that there's a period at the end of the sentence that was Jane's life, now we can see the full scope of her sacrifice, caught up forever in the sacrifice of Jesus. It's why we Catholics do funerals at Mass in the context of Eucharist, because the sacrifice of the cross and the sacrifice of our lives become one, perfect, pure sacrifice offered to God. Something we could never manage all on our own, but something which by God's grace enables us, ennobles us to do something, well, supernatural, something more. We had a conversation once about angels. Jane loved the angels. I think it was when we added the St. Michael statue, but I wouldn't swear to that. I remember when we added the statue, she said, "Looks awful scary." I said, "Well, Jane, I think angels are scary. That's why they always have to tell people to not be afraid." "I don't think they're scary, Father. I think they're wonderful." Angels, of course, are both. They're terrifying in their scope and in their power, but they're meant to solicit wonder, not fear. Angels are both like us, which is why they can interact with us, and profoundly other. And I think that's what hooked her. Not just the images of like cherubs with wings, but that there was something like us, approachable to us, at times almost touchable by us, and yet profoundly other. Living connections to the divine. Jane is no angel now, but we pray with the saints that she sings and dances with them. She wouldn't want me canonizing her because she'd get upset when I'd forget to say the names of the dead. Fair enough. But she would want us to live in hope. Not of her resurrection, but of his. And the sure and certain hope that we who are faithful can share in the same. As I was writing down the names of those who had preceded Jane in death, the near relatives, those who've gone before, I said to Deacon Larry, I said, the rabbis used to say in the Midrash, that the dead are kept alive on the lips of the living. And so long as we don't stop saying her name, she continues to live, even as she stands alive now, not dead, before the throne of God, before the judgment seat of mercy, before the Lord of life and of love.